So, hello again to the Happy Cook podcast. This is Klaus, and I have a great guest from Kuban, Christopher Jones. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, nice to meet you finally. I think we can tell everybody that it's our third try, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
The first time I mixed up some time zones and you had to wait a little bit. And yeah, sorry for that again.
No, it's okay.
But now I think we have a nice time here for a great podcast interview. And yeah, my first question always, when did you play Coop the last time?
The last time? Well, I just got back from California a few days ago. So Sunday was the West Coast Championship in Pasadena, South Pasadena, California.
Okay. What was how was your game?
A little up and down, to be honest. It wasn't quite as high as we wanted it to be. We didn't finish where we wanted, but we did get eliminated from the eventual champs. So at least the best beat us.
Okay. And do you have a fixed team at the moment, or how are you playing as a freelancer? Yeah.
No, for the past few years here, I've been mostly playing with the same two guys, or some combination of us. Our name is Science for the Win, and Damian Moore and Steve Dolan are my teammates.
Ah, yeah, perfect. And yeah, so we will speak today a little bit about you, of course, about Coop, about Kuban, and all the history in Kuban a little bit, and what are you planning in the future. And yeah, I think just have a good Coop talk. So maybe at the beginning, maybe in Europe, not everybody is so common with you or with Kuban. I'm not sure.
Sure.
In my opinion, of course, everybody knows it, but we will see. So if I would meet you at the field and we have a little bit talk beside the game, and I'm asking you, hey, what are you? You are the guy from Kuban, right? What are you doing there? What is it? What would you tell me?
I would tell you it's the one-stop source for all your Coop news. It's admittedly a little North American focused, but we try to cover all the tournaments that are happening in the States, and we preview them. We kind of do a recap after the fact. We try and provide articles around strategy and rules, and just kind of, you know, celebrate the game of Coop. And our goal is to sort of be like the ESPN of Coop. Yeah. I guess.
Nice.
I don't know if that reference travels to Europe or not, but
yeah, I think so. And maybe I would just wondering, is it your main job, or what are you doing? Is it how do you make your money?
No, it's definitely not my main job. There's no money in it. It's definitely a money loser. But it's a passion project. I do have a full-time day job, and I'm a dad. So the little bit of spare time I get, I dedicate to try and keep the site up and running.
Okay. And what is your full-time job? What are you doing beside Coop?
Yeah, I'm a user experience designer, and I work in kind of smart home stuff. So thermostats and security panels and stuff like that, the apps that go with them and that sort of thing.
Ah, yeah. Nice. That explains why everything is looking so smooth and the website is very well structured and everything.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, and I saw one day you already do a lot of designs for Coop logos, right?
Yeah.
I just found the Kalamazoo. Is that right?
Yep, Kalamazoo. Yeah, so I went to college for graphic design. So that was kind of my first career and I've sort of evolved my career since then. It's still in design, but so I've kept those skills. And Kalamazoo Cube, before I moved to Minneapolis, I lived in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and got that club going with some friends around there and made their design. And then the East Coast Cube Championship, I've done a lot of their logos for them, and Kuban, obviously, as yeah. well. So.
Yeah. I can tell you, before I saw, or before Coop and everything, I really was thinking Kalamazoo is just like a fiction name. it sounds so nice. I didn't know that's a real location or city.
Yeah. It's a real place. It's where I went to college, the town I went to college in. So yeah, I spent a lot of time nice. There.
Very good. And yeah, so Kuban, everything about Kub. Maybe let's have a little history view on it. How did it start, and what was your motivation behind it?
Sure. So I think it was kind of an idea in my head. I think I started playing Kub in 2014 and got pretty serious about it. Almost immediately, because it's just addicting, right? And then I moved out to Minneapolis in 2015, and it was a much bigger Kube scene than the little pocket of friends I had back in Michigan. So I just started like get more involved in it and more obsessed with the game. And I thought it would be cool to have some sort of like place that everybody could go and read about the tournaments that are happening. You know, they're the United States is pretty spread out, so it's kind of difficult to get to every single tournament, but the ones you can get to, you get to, and the ones you don't, like, it'd still be cool to read about them or something. So kind of like had this little seed of an idea in my head. And then I think in fall of 2016 or so, started talking to some other Coup players about it, and everyone was like, oh, this is kind of a cool idea. We should do it. So I got a group of people kind of across the United States, Ohio and Michigan and a few other places. And we all started brainstorming some ideas and coming up with, like, you know, turning the idea into something, I guess. And started doing some articles here and there, and we kind of built up a little bit of a library of stuff. And then I was like, okay, let's do it. So in April 15th of 2017, I think we launched it, put it out live, and it was a pretty big hit right away. Like, people were like, hey, this is cool. I don't know if you've ever read Kube Nation magazine that
of course, you
know, Eric Anderson used to put out. So it's kind of, the idea was sort of like, it's similar to that kind of stuff. Like, let's just talk about what's going on in Kube and stuff, but a little more timely was the goal, to be like not publishing just once a year, but publishing hopefully like every week or multiple times a week. And
24/7.
Yeah, exactly. That was the idea. And then, we had a really big start, and then, a couple of lulls there over the years. It's less and less people, I think, are kind of contributing to it, but I'm trying to get people excited about it again and get some new perspectives and stuff out there. So
yeah. When you look back at the start process, did you have any time or point in the process where you changed the direction of the project, or was it already fixed in your mind that's how Kuban is? Or did you have maybe a video idea before, or was it always like a blog and a website with everything in it, or
it's changed and evolved a little bit. Some of the areas of focus we've changed a little bit. I think video became more important. I still want to do more with it. Like, we haven't, I'm envious of the European Kube Championship. The video production they put out is like super high quality and awesome. And I would love to be able to do that at like every tournament. But
mm-hmm.
right now it kind of comes down to
we had a good sponsor and the whole camera and team and producer only for that. So,
oh yeah, I can imagine. So, yeah. You know, I struggle with the, I still want to play in tournaments. I feel like I'm not ready to give up the playing part of it yet. So I can't put as much into the documenting part of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to find ways that we can like get other people involved and to help with that and stuff. But you know, without a sponsor or something like that, it's probably not a realistic goal right now.
Yeah. You name it. You also want to play the game. And how can I imagine is a typical Coupe tournament for Chris Jones? When you go to a tournament, how much are you player? How much are you in your head? Coupe on? What is working there?
Yeah. I would say I am pretty dedicated to the player side of it. If I'm in the tournament, I'm probably like 98% focused on that. I'll try and remember to snap a few photos here and there for a recap later on. And then I'll usually either set up a camera and hopefully go play in the finals or hand off a camera to somebody else to try and film the finals. And I can look back at that later on and use that to help write a recap or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And because I'm with Happy Coupe, it's not like Coupe on. I don't know what Happy Coupe actually in total is. I'm organizing a lot of tournaments and also for cities and, for family, how to say, family fest, maybe, mm-hmm. and everything, and also for companies. But I always try it when I'm in the tournament and playing. I have the same idea in my head all the time. I need to show what is going on here. I need to show in social media and everything. And I'm filming so much and I can't publish so much. So it's always a fight between player and social media and company thinking and everything.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I think it's changed for me over, like when we first launched, I was not as good of a player. So that helped. So I had more time. I usually got out of the tournaments sooner. So I had more time to run around and take photos and stuff. But, you know, I think I've elevated my level of play. I'm not going to say I'm a great coup player because I don't think I am, but I'm a much better coup player than I used to be. So now it's like more important to me and to try and focus. And unfortunately some of the social media and stuff and that gets pushed to the side as I'm focusing on that.
Yeah. Nice. So you're just a little bit more focused.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm a better player.
Yeah. So let's have a look on Coupe on. So it's how was your writing online magazine all about Coupe? And you have some areas like tournaments, lifestyle, strategy, rules, interviews, and opinions. Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite part of these?
I more and more, I kind of am getting into the idea of the opinions section. Mm-hmm. I have a few articles in the, hopefully will be coming out very soon, that start to advocate for, you know, my opinion on we should change this rule or we should standardize one thing or the another. But I think that's kind of like an interesting place for discussions to happen. A lot of times if we put something out there, a couple years ago when the Olympics were going on, I wrote something that said like Coupe should be in the Olympics. Here's how we could get there. And it spurred a lot of conversation, you know, both pro and con to yes, we should, or no, it'll ruin the game, and you know, but just like getting people to discuss it, I think is really like interesting. So that section right now is kind of like my go-to, like to get people talking. Like the recaps of the tournaments and stuff are nice, but it doesn't usually get a lot of discussion. So
yeah. Have you already asked ChatGPT about Coupe?
I have, yes. That was the first thing I asked it.
Yeah, same. And how happy are you with the results?
It was pretty good. I think it sounded to me like they mostly looked at the Wikipedia page, but that's a pretty good description.
Okay.
I was trying to get it to go in more detail for me, and you know, I tried the prompt a few different ways, but it definitely didn't seem like it was an expert.
Yeah, nice. Okay, what I'm missing in these areas, like tournament lifestyle and so on, is some area for sponsorships, business or deals or event thinking. I don't know if you can understand what I'm meaning, but I'm always interested. Maybe in Switzerland, for example, they had one tournament from the Havana Cup team. They had a new sponsor for all the beer, and the whole Kings are sponsored and branded and everything. And I'm totally interested in kind of this stuff. Why is that not in Kuban and in the US so popular? So
first, I think it was never like Kuban's business goal to be a tournament, like to hold tournaments and stuff. Like, I think if time was unlimited and I didn't have a day job and all of that, I've always wanted us to be something that could be a resource for tournament directors. So we wouldn't hold tournaments, but we would provide tools to help other people do their tournaments. So that's like a long-term goal that we haven't quite reached. But in the United States, it seems that usually like groups are putting on those tournaments. And so the sponsorships and all of that would happen with them. And some tournaments do have sponsorships. You know, the U.S. National Championship has a lot of sponsors, even some smaller ones. I know there's one in Wisconsin that has like a sardine or something is one of their sponsors. But we haven't gotten those like big, like national brand sponsorships yet. And I think that's just like an awareness thing. I think it's like hard to get something like that to latch onto this sort of niche game that we play.
Yeah, you should add these area sponsorships, deals and everything, and just have a placeholder for here. Yeah. He could be your company.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, I'll think about that.
Nice. So you said it. If you had a little bit more time, you would add instructions or helping information for tournament directors.
So yeah.
What are other things, or is it maybe only that? What would you do with Kuban or even with the Kub in general if you had unlimited time? So
sure. Well, we do have some older articles like how to start a Kub club, and I'd like to expand that further and like, okay, what's next? You've started the Kub club. How do you get more people to join about it? How do you get the word out about it? I'd like to do some more content around that. And do the same thing for tournaments. How do I hold a tournament? What do I need to think about? What are some resources or other people who've done it that I can reach out to? Stuff like that, I think would be really useful to grow the game. And I don't want us to be the ones putting on all the tournaments. I don't think that's the goal of Kuban, but I want us to empower everybody else to do it. And even to the point of I've played around with the idea of could Kuban have a registration system where, you know, you can, as a tournament director, today you have to go and there's a handful of websites you can use to get registration and they all take a big fee away from it. And is there a way that Kuban could do that and like lessen that fee? So it's not as big, you know, like just enough to cover what it costs me to run it, but not gouging the tournament. And taking that money away from the tournaments.
Yeah. So nearly same ideas here. in Europe and in my head. So when you, how to say, when you would start the helping ideas, information for tournament directors, what do you think, what is the most important at the beginning? When you try to start a tournament, how would you start? Maybe you can just have some content here, some content tips, and later I can just have a transcription and then you can put it on. Good one.
Yeah, I guess I think there's like a certain element of it is you have to capture the existing Kube audience. So getting the word out there to people who already play Kube and travel around and play Kube, like you want a healthy amount of those people to come out to your tournament. But I think maybe more importantly is the growth part and getting the local community involved. So, you know, can you team up with a tourism group or a local brewery or something within the community that can help you get the word out to new people who maybe don't know about the game? So maybe that's some learn to play sessions every week leading up to the tournament or something like that. You know, and those are like great ideas, maybe a little harder to actually execute on those, but I think that's like a good start is find some community partners to help get the local community to come and play and then pad it with all of those other people who are willing to travel because they already know how great the game is.
Yeah. And then maybe let's have a little bit forward to, you have 16 to 20 teams already, and they would like to have a tournament and yeah, and everything, you have a date, and what were your tools or needs for a tournament director? What do you think is important for him to manage, to which skills he need to manage and with what tools maybe?
I mean, there's like the physical assets of it, right? Like you need to get all of the sets. I think it's desirable to try and make sure they're all the same type of set and everything. So when you're going from pitch to pitch, you're having a similar experience. You got to decide on the rules. Most people in the States play with US national rules, but there's like three or four sort of variations that certain tournaments pick up. So you got to be clear on those up front. And then I think just like making sure that there's someone the day of the tournament that's sort of like clearly in charge, someone people can ask questions, someone to settle disputes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nice. So I think you should definitely start this part of Kuban. Yeah. So maybe I've of course some questions here in my backlog. How do you see? I would like to ask you, how do you see the future of Kube evolving? So in general, how is Kube growing in your opinion the next years, and what part is Kube on playing maybe in this evolution?
Yeah, well, my gut says that it is growing. I think it's going to continue to grow. I think doing Kuban, I am hypersensitive to new clubs that are popping up and new little pockets of Kube here and there, and those continue to pop up. So I think that's a good sign. I think the more reach that we're sort of getting from a geographical sense kind of helps us just overall for the sport. I think, I don't know if this is a direction we're headed or just like where we're at in my head, but I think landing some of those sponsorships or something will help grant some credibility, I guess, to us and help maybe make the events a little more premier and not just like a bunch of us are got together in the park and we're doing the same thing, but you know, it's like, it's a real event that people maybe are coming to watch and just spectate at as well.
Do you see it as an event activity or free time activity or as a sport?
I I like to think of it as a sport. I think that, you know, I was just talking to somebody the other day that in a lot of ways, I think there's like a parallel to baseball where it's something you can go and you can just go down to the park with a bat and a ball and some friends and hit around and play casually. But it's a thing you can join a league and you can be a little more serious about it. It's a thing you can go and watch being played professionally. And I think like if we could get Coob to that point where it's all of those things, it's the game in the backyard. It's something you go and do every week in a league. And then, you know, maybe eventually it's something you can turn on the TV and watch a really high level athlete do this game. I think that's like the ultimate goal in my head. I think it doesn't have to be one or the other. It's sort of this, there's a top level and then there's like, it's still accessible enough that I can play in my backyard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what's your prediction for maybe Coop in 2030? How big is it?
How big is it? I mean, I'd like to see it big enough that it's on TV.
There's still TV in 2030. Yeah.
You can stream it live over the internet.
Nice.
I think it'd be cool if it got to a point where you're playing, you know, not just in parks but maybe more like bigger venues where there's like lots of people coming to see it, not just play it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the tournaments I've been to around here, you know, this is not a knock on them. It's just the way it is. But typically the people watching at the end are the people who've been eliminated. There's not a lot of people who are coming to see Coob being played because it's a really interesting thing to watch. It is, but I just don't think people know about it. So I'd like to see us get to a point where it is an event to go to.
Do you think that a disadvantage for Coop that there's no real offense defense situation, because it's of course a like rounded game that you are playing your throws, then I'm waiting, then I'm playing my. There's no real defense situation. Of course, you can decide put up the coops, but in case for football or soccer or however, I think that's often the most interesting part for strategies and for the game is every time different. But Coop, it seems for a guy maybe who's just watching in the park or maybe also at the event, it seems like everything is the same.
Hmm.
Do you think that's a disadvantage?
Maybe. I guess I hadn't thought of it exactly in that terms. Could be.
But of course, in darts, there's also no chance to have a defense. But I sometimes just have that in my mind. If I see some interesting sports, now it's round net, spike ball coming up. I don't know if you know the game.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And of course, that's really interesting because it's offense, defense, it's a fast game, and it's nice to watch. So
yeah.
And for Coop, of course, it's a little bit difficult to watch and to find it interesting from a point of a viewer. So
perhaps a lot of people watch golf too. And you know, there's no defense in golf. It's all you. And to be honest, that's even less action than Coop. So people enjoy that. I think there's people out there who'd enjoy Coop.
Okay. So we need a little bit, put Coop on to a little bit more high society and have a handicap in Coop.
That'd be interesting. That's an interesting concept.
Have you experienced with that?
No, that would be interested to see how that works.
Yeah. Okay. So, of course, you have a family, you have a job, you have Coop a lot of. I think you're traveling for Coop also a lot. How do you balance all of that?
Yeah. Well, I did a whole lot more traveling before I had the family.
Yeah.
So that has turned down a bit. I do luck out that I live in Minneapolis, which is in Minnesota, in a region called the Midwest. And a great majority of the tournaments in the United States are in the Midwest. So I'm lucky that I can drive to a lot of them, and I can do it in like a day or two trip versus having to get on a plane and spend a whole weekend someplace. So I used to do that before I had a kid. It was easier to get away and do that. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a lot of local kube scene for me too. In our sort of metropolitan area, we have a number of groups that get together and play just casually on weeknights. And we have some organized leagues as well. I think a new one starts up next week or the week after that. So it gets me out playing, you know, once or twice a week.
Yeah. How much was your free time for Coop on maybe before kids and when the start with Coop on and everything was growing and so far, and maybe in 2018, 20 or 17, 18, how much time did you spend in the week for Coop related topics?
Oh man.
And game, of course.
Quite a bit. I probably was spending, you know, three weeknights I'd spend time on some aspect or go play. And then I was playing tournaments, you know, every weekend in the summertime.
Yeah.
And probably throwing in a league here and there when, as well. So yeah, I was probably spending four or five of my days had some sort of kube, related activity. And nowadays that's, I'm lucky if I get to get out once a week and play. And then I usually try and sprinkle in some Kuban related stuff, you know, 1 to 3 days here and there, but like at a much less time than I used to. If it was hours before, I'm trying to find 20 minutes here and there now.
Yeah. Is there the tournaments in the US, are they family friendly? Is it, can you go there with kids?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say for the most part they are. My kid just turned two, so like maybe he could come now, but bringing a baby to the tournament's not a
that, so you have a mini coupe set.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so it's I think Eric already said that the tournaments are ending not like in Europe in the night, so it's ending in the afternoon or in the evening, right?
Yeah, I'd say they normally wrap up sort of in the like 4 to 6 in the afternoon, so it's usually still light out when we're done.
Yeah,
there's a few notable exceptions, especially there's a winter tournament that we play outside in the snow, and those usually go into the dark, just, you know, the nature of time of year and everything, but yeah, for the most part, they wrap up relatively early.
Do you have the in your place snow for sure every day, every year?
Every year, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This past winter was the third snowiest winter on record, so we had snow every, like, there was snow on the ground, I think, from early November until just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a big winter for us. It's not normally that bad. We sort of go up and down, but this winter in particular was bad.
You should also next time come with us to Fuerteventura.
Yeah.
And have to shorten this time a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, snow is great, but for such a long period.
Yeah, it gets old after a while. But that's why we play in the snow. We make the best of it. So
yeah,
I played a winter league, and I think I played at least two winter tournaments where we were outside in the cold playing, just trying to make the most of it.
What are the don't get cold hacks for a Coop tournament in the snow?
Electric socks.
Really?
I have USB charging socks that if heat up my toes for me.
That's, and then you maybe if the battery is all, you have to it's empty, you have to go and reload a little bit.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
Bring a spare.
Nice. Never heard about it. Great. Okay. So maybe just thinking a little bit about your own CUP history, your own CUP memories. Do you have a favorite CUP memory?
Oh, favorite CUP memory. Oh, there's so many. I mean, the first tournament I ever played is a really good memory. I was back in Kalamazoo with my buddies, and we had just discovered the game literally like months before this. We were kind of just looking around on YouTube and stuff and seeing videos, and we're like, hey, they play this. Like, there's a national tournament, and it's only in Wisconsin, and it's like only 8.5 hour drive. Let's do it. So like
it's
four
eight,
of us.
It's 8.5 hours?
Yeah, that was – yeah. That yeah.
Wow.
I guess we're pretty spread out, you know. It's,
yeah.
So we, four of us guys, got together. We all told our significant others. None of us had kids at the time. So we were all like, we're going to go away for a long weekend. And
yeah,
we went and played this crazy game. And it turns out we had a few of the rules wrong. We hadn't quite figured them all out. So when we got there, we shifted and learned a few new things before we got underway. But we went with the goal of we're going to win a game. That was not even a match. We were just like, we just want to win a game and it'll be all worth it. And we ended up winning a game, and then we won another, and we won the match, and we were like, hey, maybe we can do this.
Yeah,
and then
nice.
We had a lot more success than we expected to have, and had a ton of fun, and just got super addicted to it, and kept coming back. So,
and was it I don't know, in Germany you say that's like the luck of the first game. Was it like that, or
no? I don't think
it.
Or
was you just really talented?
Somewhere in between, I'd say. Maybe there's a little bit of luck there, but I think we weren't as bad as we thought we were, because we've been watching YouTube videos, and YouTube videos were mostly like championship finals and stuff. So I think we were comparing ourselves to the top of the game at the time. And
yeah,
but when we got there, we realized we weren't the only sort of quote amateurs out on the pitch. So
do you remember who was in the videos back the day?
It was like Chris Hodges and Josh Feathers, the Koopsicles, basically all the people who were winning back in the like early 2010s.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, it was I also remember I just started in 2012 and started to organize Ahoy Beach Cup in 2014. So it's the same area of time, and I really like to remember that. Yeah. Okay, so you already said Kuban is not a company or everything. You're more losing than winning money.
Yeah.
Just say money. Do you ever had the thoughts about to monetize it in any way, or just in the past, or maybe in the future?
Yeah, I have. I haven't found anything that's like a great way to do that so far. For a little while, I had an online store. You could buy some merchandise and stuff, but then the place I was going through to fulfill those orders and stuff was less. The quality was getting less, so I didn't feel comfortable like proceeding with that. I think there's probably ways to do it. It probably comes down to time again. Like, I don't know if I have the time to fully get it in that space.
Of course, I can imagine. Of course, if you want to monetize something, you always look, of course, to the other side of the quality. And then you need a little bit more time. And then how is it worth it for maybe that little bit money?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And there's other things too, like going back to the idea of helping people run tournaments and things. Like, you know, I think it'd be cool if there was equipment or something that Kuban had that we could rent out or something mm-hmm. like that. Like, you know, get somebody up and going without that upfront cost. To them, like a much lesser cost to just rent a bunch of sets and various things to run your tournament. But of course, then there's like an upfront cost to me or to mm-hmm. Kuban. So kind of a catch 22 there, but yeah, I still have like goals eventually. It's time and money and
yeah,
I just don't quite have to dedicate to it at the moment.
Yeah. Just the idea is coming to my mind. How is your house looking? Do you have a lot of shirts or medals or cup things or cup sets or anything of that?
Yeah, I have many of all of those. More than my wife probably would appreciate. But I do have a little corner of the basement where I've got a trophy shelf and stuff with all my medals and trophies.
Okay.
And I do wear Kube shirts almost every day.
Yeah.
And I've got more Kube sets than I probably need, but I keep one in the car and keep one in the backyard and keep one safe in the basement. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Did I ask you, are you a Kub organizer, a Kub tournament organizer?
I have in the past. I don't do it that often, but I have done a few in the past. And I'm working with a group of other Kub players in the Twin Cities area to organize some leagues and possibly tournaments in the near future here too. So I'm still kind of involved that way. Like I said, my amount of time I can dedicate to Kube has changed in the last couple of years. So I'm trying to make sure that I still get to play and I don't want to get burnt out just organizing and stuff.
Yeah.
Of course. I do what I can.
Yeah. It's not that easy. I guess. Yeah,
it's definitely not. No, it's
no,
it's, everything outside of playing is definitely a labor of love. You know, so
yeah,
trying to keep Kuban going. And that's, I've been doing a big push this year to try and get more people involved. I think over the years, Kuban has just become this thing that I think people think it's like, oh, that's just what Chris does. But I've always meant it to be more of a community thing. Like I want other people to write their opinion articles or their experiences at tournaments and things like that. Like I think all of that type of content and stuff is like interesting and people want to read it and people don't just want to know what I think. They want to think, they want to, you know, have these varied opinions and perspectives. And so I'm pushing a lot of people to maybe get a little out of their comfort zone and provide some content for Kuban this year. So hopefully that works out.
Yeah. And I recognized the Ask a Ref. Stories and everything. How is that working? Do you say, hey, can I ask you? And we have a little story, Ask a Ref, and now have some articles, maybe 5 or 10 or however. And are you writing and in the end everything and put it online? Or how is the community involved?
Sure. So at the beginning, there was a handful of people, my brother Brian, Kyle and Neil Weakland in Ohio, Phil Dickinson in Michigan. A bunch of people were contributing articles and stuff. And so I've kind of always been a bit of an editor, I guess. I just kind of like give everything a pass over, look for mistakes and stylistic things and whatever, and then get it uploaded into the website. And then over the years, like people have just, you know, I've gotten busy with their lives and stuff. And so there hasn't been as many people contributing. And for a long time, it was just me sort of like writing and uploading. But then Jesse Frame, which is one of my friends from Kalamazoo, we got to talking. He's like, my kids are a little older now. I got some free time. How can I help out? So we came up with some of the ideas, like the Ask a Ref stuff. So he's been kind of handling that. We put a form out there. You can ask a question, and then Jesse finds the answer, writes up a response, and then I just do the editing part, basically just like pull it over, format it into the website and publish it.
Yeah. Okay, nice. When you're planning now in next week, is already again International Day of Kub.
Oh, wow. That's,
yeah.
Comes up fast.
Yeah, next Friday. And when you're planning some like content for International Day of Kub, or just to have now you started to have the tournament of the month, everything. How do you, do you have a process of that? How much do you plan everything? Or is it just like, okay, I should post a little bit about that and that? And how planned are you working in that part?
It kind of ebbs and flows a little bit. There are certain times when I have a little bit of time and I put out a big plan and come up with the idea and get everything ready to go and schedule it all to publish at the right times. And then there's other times where I'm just sort of like overwhelmed and busy with work or home life and just scramble to get something out of, just so there's something out there.
Yeah.
I want to be organized and have everything ready to go. It's just, I'm not organized enough to do that.
Yeah. Same here. Of course, sometimes sometimes you're just organizing everything and then try to stay organized, but then the life hits hard and
like you mentioned the tournaments of the month graphic that I started putting together. I had three of those lined up, and then a new tournament came out. I had to remake one of them, and then like another tournament came out. And so while I had those lined up and ready to go, now I'm behind. Like I don't have the May one I need to go and fix, because I think there was another tournament that got added.
In some days, you have to publish again.
Yep.
By the way, that was how we ended up here in the podcast, because I asked you, when do you publishing worldwide tournament overview? And you said you need somebody to have an overview about Europe, for example.
Yeah.
And maybe I can just put you some or push some tournaments.
You can add. There we go.
Yeah.
I've always had this dream of having a European correspondent for Kuban. So someone who is over there and knows the scene. Because I'd love to, read more about it and everything, but I can't. I can cover where the tournaments I'm going to, let alone.
Do you try to follow the European Cup or?
Yeah, a little bit.
How do you try it?
Through Facebook and social media.
Yeah.
I did go a few years back. A few of us came over and played in Belgium, Germany, and Switzerland. I've been to, I met up with some people in Berlin last time I was there. I made some friends and contacts, and I just kind of follow along through them and through the various Facebook pages. And, the European Kub Championship, they always do a great job streaming those videos and stuff. So I watch a lot of those.
Yeah.
So I guess it's very casual. Like, I don't know necessarily all of the teams or anything, but I follow along when I can.
What was your greatest moment of Kub in Europe?
Oh, probably when I successfully did the sure shot.
Nice.
There was many failed attempts before I got a successful one, but that was definitely
yeah.
That was a happy moment.
So you played in Switzerland?
Yeah.
And
it was they called it the Three Nations Cup. It
was, I remember.
Yeah, Germany, Belgium, Switzerland.
Schindhard.
Yep. Schindhard. Yeah. Yep.
And then
I didn't get to play in that one, unfortunately. I only got to do Belgium and Switzerland.
Okay.
But my brother and Kyle Weekland, they did all three. So
yeah, great. And I just found in my preparation for the podcast interview, you had a list 30 before 30.
Oh wow, you you did do research.
Yeah, and there is number 11. Actively pursue speaking German.
Yeah.
Because later in the list, I guess, there was your grandmother was born in Germany, right?
She was, yes.
Yeah. So now it's your chance to to give us your German, your best German, and to promote the International Day of Cook in German.
Oh, man. Well, I did pursue German a little bit. I internshiped in Switzerland for 3 months and kind of practiced there. And then I did take a class as well. But I would not
you
say
know,
I'm
you know, it's not really good. German in Switzerland.
But yeah, I learned that the hard way because I went to Munich and I think I greeted somebody with Grüezi and they just looked at me like I was an idiot. And I was like, that's Swiss German.
So, and even in my opinion, I'm from the north of Germany, even in Munich, it's not real German. Greetings to all the guys from the south. Yeah. Okay. So how is your German? Is it good or?
Nicht gut.
Nicht gut. Yeah. I heard once that the CH, the H, is very hard for American people to say. Is that right?
It could
be. Like you said, nicht gut.
Yeah? Was that wrong?
No, it's good.
Oh, thank you.
But I heard that it's often not so easy for American people.
My German teacher said that Americans are we're lazy speakers. We don't pronunciate very well, which is probably very true. But
But you don't have to because everybody is understanding you or should understanding you. So, yeah. Okay. So I'm waiting for your promotion for International Day of Coop in German.
I don't think I know enough words off the top of my head to promote it.
Okay. I give you one. Hallo Leute, am 5.5. oder you can say am 5. Mai ist der internationale Tag des Kups.
You lost me. you're beyond me now. I'm way out of practice. It's been
okay.
Years.
I will just use your English promotion. Just give us a little promotion for the International Day of Kup, then I can put that online the next days.
Okay.
Just a short one.
Just the International Day of Coop. Come and play. I don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah. I just thought about just have a little snippet of our interview and you say, hey, it's International Day of Coop,
May 5th.
Come and play some Coop, yeah. By the way, we this year we managed to have the motto again, like bring Coop to work. So if you have a Coop set in your work, just ask for everybody's playing Coop in the lunch break or.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I've done that a few times before. I'll make a point to do it on May 5th.
Perfect.
Or what day of the week is that?
It's a Friday.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, next Friday.
All right. Well, happy International Day of Coop. Bring your Coop set to work.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. So I would love to go through your 30 before 30 list, but it's okay. Maybe one, did you, because there, play tennis regularly?
No, but I did play Kube a lot, so we'll count that.
Yeah. Do you play other sports or everything? Or yeah, did you the I last did. Years?
Well, I tennis was on my list because I used to play it in high school. But I've gotten really into cycling lately. So during the lockdown, I was kind of looking for ways to do something and started riding my bike and got really into it. And then I got a fancier bike and another bike and another bike and another bike. So yeah, if I'm not playing Kube or work or family, I'm off on a bike somewhere.
And do you not working on a platform like Bike On or?
No. No, I'm doing it just for me. A fun way to get away and sort of meditate for me. It's just like the way to clear my mind and get some exercise.
Nice. Okay. Very nice. I think I could ask you questions hours, but of course, not everybody has so much time. So I will come to my fast questions at the end.
Okay.
So do you prefer Kube on grass or beach or snow?
Ooh, I think I'm going to go grass.
Okay. Then what do you prefer, incasting Kubes or blasting on them?
Oh, I think incasting.
What do you think? What are you better?
Probably at that nowadays. It sort of changes over time, but the team I've been playing with, there's somebody else who blasts, and so I've gotten a little out of practice on that, but I do incast quite a bit. So
yeah. And you don't rotate in the incasting player, right? So it's always
actually my team we do. Most of the tournaments don't require it, but my team does. We sort of, there's two of us, actually the two that don't blast, take turns every turn. We switch drilling, and we find that it's like a good way to, it's like a competition kind of thing. So like you have to perform well or the other guy's going to take over.
Ah, nice. Yeah, it's good. What do you prefer, single player or team player? Or what team are player. You more?
Team player. Team player, for sure.
Sure shot or the golden throw? So just the last button. Do you know what I mean with the golden throw?
No.
It doesn't matter how many buttons you have left. You only have one. And if you fail with that one, the opponent is again.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd go towards that. The sure shot makes mine easy. I'm just it's such a like disarming thing to sort of like throw upside down after you've been throwing the other way so long. I don't know.
Yeah. you can't imagine to have more tournaments in the US with a sure shot.
I don't think so.
Okay. In the final of the US National Cup Championships, you are in it. What do you prefer? Totally focus or a little trash talk?
Probably totally focused. That's more my vibe. Get in the mindset and do it.
Okay. Are you even in your own team focused and for your own, or do you have a little talk with your teammates and have a little strategy and everything?
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll strategize a little bit. We sometimes we'll get a little off and we'll poke fun at each other too much and we have to refocus and we always say brositivity, like positivity amongst us. But yeah, we'll try and stay relatively focused, but we still talk and strategize.
Yeah, nice. At the beginning, 2 for 6 or 6 buttons at all?
Oh, 2 for 6. 6 is too many.
Yeah. Do you had a lot of perfect games in your life?
In my life, no. No, I can think of like two.
Okay. Tournament system, Swiss model, or I think, how do you say it there?
Like group play.
Is it the normal
group play? Round robin.
Okay. And
yeah, I like the Swiss style. I would say the majority of our tournaments are of the Swiss style. I kind of like that one.
Yeah. Dress code, sporty or neat, stylish? Casual was sporty. Also.
Yeah, I'm pretty functional when it comes to coup. I got to stay comfortable.
Yeah. Barefoot or shoes?
Oh, I was barefoot for the longest time. I have started wearing shoes, but I wear barefoot shoes, like minimalist shoes. So I'm sort of a hybrid.
Okay. During the play, beer or water?
Both. I'll have a beer, but I'm probably more focused on the water.
Okay.
I got it.
Yeah. And more, but you already said that, more playing coup or more media works for Kuban?
More playing coup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you want to add? Who do you want to greet?
I don't know. I think I covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's really interesting how you see the everything in Coop, and I love to see new articles and everything. And so thank you very much again for all your work.
Because thank you.
I really think there are so many people enjoying these kind of articles, and even if they never tell you or write or send you a message or so, but I know there are a lot of people reading and looking what is Coop on doing. So thank you very much.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. Thank you.
And well, I would love to see more.
Well, so would I. So maybe that's what I'll put out there. I'll just put an open call. If anyone wants to contribute articles or anything to Kuban, please reach out. I'd love to talk with you and see what we can do.
Yeah. So what is your main need? Who could help you the most? Or what kind of...
I'm pretty open to everything. You know, I don't get to as many tournaments as I used to. So if people want to do recaps of the tournaments, that's great. I am interested in people's experience. So if it's even just like, you know, going to their first tournament or a tournament that means something special to them and why, or what coup means to, you know, you as a person, or any of that kind of stuff, or the strategy stuff. Like if you've got a special way you like to practice that you think is unique to put out there into the world, or almost anything. If it's coup related, let's talk about it.
Okay, great. I will, of course, put everything, all the links and contact in the show notes and on the podcast posts. What is the best way to contact you? Via Facebook or?
Yeah, Facebook's fine. There's a contact form on kuban.com. You can use that as well. kubanmag@gmail.com if you want to email me.
Perfect. Okay. Chris, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure talking.
I hope we see someday in live at the Coop Field.
Yeah, and I hope so.
So have a great Friday and weekend.
Yeah,
and
thank
of course, Internationalen Tag des Coops. International Day of Coop next week, May 5th.
Bring your coops out to work.
Nice. See you.
All right. Bye.